Welcome to The First Serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sports. For AFT Hire, for all your temporary fencing and portable toilet hire, call 1300 946 660 or log on to afthire.com.au. And Fast 4 Tennis, register to play at fast4.com.
Good morning, everybody. 7 past 11. Welcome to the First Serve as we talk at the world of tennis this morning. Well, the path to victory in this sport is never an easy one. A highly competitive sport, having to work your way through the tiers of players fighting for the same glory, jetting from one city to the next each week, searching for the consistency needed to reach the lofty heights. Physically demanding and mentally challenging. Coming up against players from countries that once upon a time had no tennis presence at all. Australia has a rich tennis history, and of course, we want to see more champions evolve and take their opportunities. The beautiful setting of Acapulco in Mexico this afternoon will see two young guns go head-to-head for the first time. Bernhard Tomic of Australia and Dominic Thiem of Austria. Tomic is 1 year older. Thiem is 6 ranking spots higher. They are the long-term future. Thiem is destined for a great career, an absolute jet. Today, Bernhard Tomic needs to make a statement. It is time to step up and win a bigger tournament than he has previously done. Announce himself by gritting his teeth and digging in. He burst onto the scene before the Austrian. He is so naturally gifted, and it's time to step up and deliver. Well, let's hope his mind is not wandering towards Kooyong for a huge Davis Cup tie next week, like it was in Sydney, looking ahead to the Australian Open a month ago. Today is a big moment for Bernhard Tomic of Australia to seize the moment. First Serve, talking the world of tennis on this Sunday morning. Brett Phillips, I'm at Princess Park today. We're all throwback to the suburban football grounds, NAB Challenge footy with myself and Matt Granlund and Scott Lucas a little bit later on this afternoon. Back in the studio, Paul Aiken, the coach extraordinaire from metrotennis.com.au. Good to hear your voice, Paul.
Good morning, BP, and good morning to all the listeners. There is just so much going on in the world of tennis.
Absolutely, and we're going to be right across it. In a very busy hour, Bojana Babusic, she played on the tour, the WTA Tour. She's travelled the world. She knows all the inside outs of the world of tennis. Bodge, good morning to you.
Good morning, BP. Good to be here.
It's a big day, isn't it, for Bernhard Tomic and Dominic Thiem. I mean, these are the two young guys who, at the back end of 2015, both had stellar years inside the top 20. Here they are. They meet for the first time. Gee, I reckon, Bodge, Acapulco, I looked at the backdrop of that tournament. What a superb place to play a tennis tournament this week. And one of them can really make a statement today. But we want Bernhard Tomic to stand up. If he can win a 500 event for the first time, that ranking's going to get a little bit closer to the top 10, and he would cap off what has been a terrific week.
Yeah, I think we've all been waiting for Bernie to step it up, especially with the Davis Cup coming up. He's obviously carrying some form. But like you said, BP, a lot of ranking points are up for the taking. I think it's about 500 or so. So for Bernie, it's a real opportunity to step it up and, you know, finally display that level of tennis that he is capable of playing.
Paul, I mentioned where his mind might be. He's got through a really tough three-setter yesterday, where he conceded the first set against Dolgopolov, who is one of the trickiest opponents, as we know, to play on the tour, 6-1, then fought his way back, really gritted his teeth, got through in three. He's going to make a long dash back to Australia for the Davis Cup. We're going to talk about that off the top, the injury to Nick Kyrgios, of course, over in Dubai, and the build-up now for Australia heading into that tie at Kooyong starting next Friday. But he really can't be looking too much further than today. Today's got to be a day where he just is able to zone in and really get the job done.
Well, he really has stepped it up this week. Beating Ram and avenging the loss he had in the first round proves he's not really sleeping at the wheel. And getting back to what he does best all this week, challenging strike zone, challenging the timing of players, using the middle of the court, starting to use his forehand more to break open points and using his slice to reset points. He just looks fantastic out there.
Yeah, he certainly does. We'd love your calls this morning on what you've seen of Bernhard Tomic, Nick Kyrgios during the week. Of course, we get great coverage of all the tournaments around the world. 9429 1116. And looking ahead to the Davis Cup, 0433 98 1116. Happy to take your SMS contributions. Of course, always your chance here on the First Serve to win a family pass for an Australian Open guided tour down at Melbourne Park. Thanks to our good friends at Tennis World, you too can have a Grand Slam experience with Tennis World, court hire, coaching, function rooms, a whole lot more for all things tennis, tennisworld.com.au. It makes for a fascinating build-up, guys, doesn't it, to the Davis Cup? whether Tomic wins or loses today, to get back to Australia to have enough time to prepare. We know the US team is already here and training at Kooyong, and then the doubt now on Nick Kyrgios. And I don't know if what you guys have heard, whether he has actually jetted back to Australia. Is he still in Dubai? A bit of uncertainty, obviously, heading into the tie.
Well, I'm sure for Nick, he'd be trying to get back to Australia as soon as possible. But, you know, question mark for him, one is that it is his back, but also saying that he's potentially carrying a little bit of a virus, hasn't been feeling himself. Sam Groth lost first round again in Acapulco. So, yeah. You know, a bit of a question mark for the Aussie team. And then you've got Bernhard Tomic, who's got a fair bit of travel ahead of him as well. So, you know, a week of a little bit of uncertainty for the Australian team.
Who else do you maybe, Paul, throw into the mix here? I mean, they're going to have to maybe look at having another player or two on standby.
Well, it's all revolving around Kyrgios, I guess, because and Bernie, for that matter.
Yep.
I mean, he's got the... we talk about Kyrgios' injury, but Bernie's got the rough end of the pineapple too, because he's got to come back 16 hours after playing a final. Mm. Then with Indian Wells starting on the 10th,
yep,
and the Davis Cup finishing on the 6th, he's got to then fly back to America. So at least with Kyrgios, he's only coming from Dubai.
Would have been handy to play this tie in Hawaii, wouldn't it?
Sure would.
Wouldn't be a bad spot either.
I think
exactly.
With your question, I think John Millman, if they were to throw, if worst come to worst, and I think if Kyrgios couldn't play, then, you know, throwing John Millman and SOS wouldn't be bad, because he could then practice with Groth. They could do some practice sets and yep. then work out who plays singles.
Absolutely. Well, he's certainly the next cab off the rank. He deserves it. He's had a pretty good month and had a pretty good couple of months, obviously, starting here in Australia. Great news during the week. We obviously spoke 7 days ago, guys, who was going to make up the Australian Davis Cup team. John Pearce spoke on breakfast with Frank and Ox here on SEN. I sent a text to John. He was absolutely rapt to get the call up. It's been long awaited, and hopefully for for him, he can put his best foot forward. What an opportunity to be in the Australian colours in Melbourne, where he's grown up, this time next week.
Well, last week I went out on a bit of a limb and suggested that Hewitt may play doubles, and I don't have any doubt that he and Coach Stoltenberg really did consider it. But it was a very smart move from to name Pearce in the team and end any speculation. And having said that, I've seen Captain Hewitt out on the court the last couple of days, just training the house down, BP, Boyana. On court, supervising things, Jason Stoltenberg and even his dad, Glyn, had been out there.
Yep.
He's just such a pure ball striker. He protects his strike zone so well, plays those courts at Kooyong very well, and is no doubt planning next week to have some practice sets should Kyrgios and Tomic be available. And he will... I think I'd forecast some fiery practice sets, some emotional outbursts, because he will challenge them on the grass.
Look, he will. And I think just a word, I suppose, on the American team. I mean, it really picked itself, didn't it? I mean, Sock and Isner have been the two standout singles players. Querrey's had a good couple of weeks, but obviously was it's come off a tough couple of years. I mean, he was ranked number 20 in the world at one stage and had a few injuries and dips in form. He's putting himself, I suppose, back in the conversation. But really, they were the two standouts, and you can't go past the Bryan brothers. So... Bodge, a little bit more of a simpler equation in terms of selection for Jim Courier regarding the Americans.
Yeah, for sure. And for Australia, they know they have to put their best team forward when you've got someone like John Isner on a grass court with his big serve and his ability to come into the net. Jack Sock, who's quite an entertaining player, very talented as well. And then you've got the Bryan brothers. So, I mean, such a tough team to come up against. And, you know, it would be a tough time for Leighton as well to try and pick that team. And hopefully all the Aussie players are healthy and fit to give it their best shot.
Yeah, absolutely. 9429 11 16, 0433 98 11 16 on the SMS. I think we've got Shane in Pakenham, who's on the line to have a chat about the big match coming up today. Tomic and Dominic team. G'day, Shane. Welcome.
Yeah, how are you?
Going well.
Yeah, I've just been following that Dominic theme for the last 3 months, and he must be the most improved player on the tour. He destroyed Ferrari last week.
Yep.
On the hard court, and then yesterday, Sam Querrey, like, he's been in good form.
Spot on, Shane. Yeah. He's just so impressive. He's on like a 12-1 win-loss record in the last few weeks. Technically so well produced. He's just fantastic.
He's brilliant to watch. And he seems... We've spoken about him a little bit on the show the last few weeks. He's given us good reason to speak about him, because he seems like a really mature guy, really switched on, good team around him. He's done a little bit of military service with the Austrian Army back in his homeland a couple of years ago. You know, everyone talks about his backhand, Paul, but his forehand, his ability to get around the court, he's just got that all-court game. I mean, it's a really good story. And this is great for tennis, isn't it? If Tommy can keep emerging, and Kyrgios and Dominic Thiem and this batch of young players who eventually are going to take the mantle when, you know, Roger retires and, you know, Nadal and Djokovic and Murray get to the point where they're not going to be as dominant as they are in their prime. We've got an exciting sort of 10-year period ahead.
Oh, we sure do. I mean, physically, he has such a solid athletic stance, very solid base, I think similar to Djokovic, really, that allows him to generate such tremendous power through his hips.
Bodge, how far do you think he can go, Dominic Thiem?
Oh, well, he's already proven that he can match up with those top players. But, you know, talking about the young players coming through, and I know we've touched on this young player before, Taylor Fritz, qualifying and making the quarterfinals in Acapulco as well. So, gee, there's such a good group of young male players coming through. It's an exciting time. And I think we've all sort of been waiting for the next up-and-comer after, you know, your Murrays, your Federers, Djokovic. So, no, it's an exciting time for Dominic Thiem and for the young players as well.
Yeah, it certainly is. We'll get into all the results on the tour after our first break in Dubai, of course. With Stan Wawrinka winning overnight, we've got the Acapulco final coming up today. We've got the tournament, the 250 over there in Sao Paulo. Of course, the girls playing in Qatar, a huge win for Carla Suarez Navarro overnight. We've got the Acapulco final, which has just got underway between Sybil Kova and Sloane Stephens. And I want to talk about Jordan Thompson through the show. We're talking about a big day, Paul, for Bernard Tomic. If he can break through, we saw it with Blake Mott. He's another good story. He's won through to the final in Port Perry, backing up his great performance in Launceston 2 weeks ago. It just takes that one win, doesn't it, on the Challenger Tour. And here for Jordan Thompson, coming up tonight, our time, he's got a great opportunity to win his first Challenger and, well, really get a hell of a lot closer to that top 100.
Yeah, Jordan is very, very solid and very fit. And, of course, he's still very young. So I think he's every chance to be in the top 100, perhaps by the year's end.
He's a good competitor, isn't he? I mean, he's had obviously a bit of a tough start this year in terms of some first-round exits, but post the Australian Open, he played the tournament in Launceston, and then he's got on the road playing all these events right across Europe. And that's, in a sense, that's what these players need to do. Once you're at that sort of 150 mark, I mean, you don't want to be sort of, I suppose, just playing the Australian Pro Tour. I mean, there's obviously not enough challenges here, so you need to go abroad. But he's packed the bag and really trying to, I suppose, make this year his real breakout year.
Yeah, that's the tough thing. You know, 150 in the world is amazing, but to crack inside that top 100 is a whole other level. And for Jordan, obviously, if he can win that challenger, it'll do him the world of good.
But he's going to go close.
Yeah, and like you said, Paul, he's only 21 years of age. And he's still developing, he's still growing. But for him to make a final and back up those wins is very impressive.
No doubt. A few SMSs coming in, guys. 0433981116. Paul, I think you're close there. Anything coming through on the SMS for us?
We've had quite a few here. I'll read out one here. Should Kyrgios and Tomic play this week in hindsight? That's a very good question. Look, I think scheduling now becomes the most important weapon in tennis for those guys and for a lot of players because your competition blocks, your times for rest, regeneration, the use of sports science principles in terms of that periodisation is very important. I mean, they weren't to know they would go so deep in the tournaments that they have. But I think, obviously, looking at Kyrgios as an athlete now, that's everything. Because if he keeps getting injured, that is going to be a limiting factor of his career.
And if they want to play at the top level, they have to be able to back up these wins and have to travel. And I think it's the best situation for him to make a final, to go play Davis Cup and then go back and play Indian Wells. It's just part of the game, I guess. And as tennis players, they're just so used to travel. It's just what it is.
Yeah, there's no let up, is there, Bodge? I mean, if you want to get to the top, you've got to play as much as you possibly can, until you can get to the level of a Djokovic or a Federer or Murray, where you can start to really pick and choose your schedule, Serena Williams on the women's side. If you're going to get into that top 10, you've got to play all these tournaments to get the points.
Oh, you sure do. And for someone like Djokovic, he's a prime example of his ability to do that. And for Nick, obviously, having such a good win a couple of weeks ago and then obviously not being able to back it up and having to pull out because of an injury, there are all those little things that add up. And, you know, one word that we always throw out is consistency. And that's what it is on the tennis tour.
No doubt. Before the break, Paul, a couple of other SMSs before we slide into break. And we'll come back and have a chat about Bernard Tomic.
Do you think Jack Sock or Sam Querrey will be in the USTA's second USA's second singles player? I don't think Sam Querrey will be brought in, but perhaps
no.
So, and there's another one. Will the Davis Cup tie against USA go to a live fifth rubber? I think there is every chance that could happen.
Yeah, it's not a lot in it, is
there?
No, it's
not.
So it's going to be probably that, you know, the reverse singles on the Sunday that are probably going to decide the fate. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a look at all the tournaments around the globe. The first serve, it's 22 past 11.
You're listening to The First Serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. For AFT Hire, for all your temporary fencing and portable toilet hire, call 1-300-946-660 or log on to afthire.com.au. And Fast 4 Tennis, register to play at fast4.com.
Welcome back to The First Serve. It's 25 past 11, of course, Sunday Sports Central up after midday today, and then we'll bring you SEN NAB Challenge Footy. Carlton and Essendon from the Blues spiritual heartland here at Princes Park, which is, well, not looking like it was probably 20 years ago, but the surf is still absolutely magnificent. Good game of footy. Should be a fair crowd here this afternoon. Of course, Fremantle and Adelaide from the west. Brett Phillips, Paul Aiken, Bojana Babusic talking the world of tennis. Let's talk Acapulco. Bernard Tomic, Dominic Thiem. They'll play at 2 o'clock this afternoon our time. The 22-year-old Austrian, who, of course, defeated Sam Querrey overnight 6-2, 6-2 to reach his first 500 final, his second final on this Latin American swing after winning in Buenos Aires in Argentina a couple of weeks ago. And Bernard Tomic, of course, into his fifth ATP Tour final, his first 500 final, 3-1, of course, in his four finals previously. So big moment after his victory, comeback victory after losing the first set to Alexander Dolgopolov 6-1, bounce back 6-4, 6-3. Let's take a listen to Bernard Tomic speaking after the win last night.
Me and Alex have played, I think now in our career, probably 10 times. I think the record's now 6-4 after this match I won. So 6-4, we've played so many times. We've had so many strange encounters where I've played well, he's played well. And unfortunately, you know, the first set, he was playing so good. So I had to stay in there, dig deep. And I was happy to win because he's a very, very good player.
Yeah, certainly had to dig deep. Tricky player, Dolgopolov, who I suppose if you were coaching against Alexander, Paul, and you were in charge of Bernard Tomic, trying to work out patterns and, you know, just the game plan, it's so unpredictable, isn't it? Great shot making, and then he can sort of just go missing for periods, and that's what sort of happened. He came out of the blocks firing, and then Tomic was the more steadier player through those last two sets.
Oh, well, spot on, BP. I mean, no one likes playing him. His patterns are unpredictable. You always get shot making from this guy, and most of the matches he plays are off his racket. But if there are some weaknesses there, and I think Tomic was working this out, he breaks all the rules on his forehand, Dolgopolov. His head and his body comes off the ball spectacularly. And this is because he sets up way too early on his front foot. The flip side of this, though, is that it's very hard to read. And I think Tomic, you saw him using his slice backhand as well, really playing with his timing. It was a great match. I mean, 43 winners Dolgopolov hit to 37 unforced errors, so he almost cancels himself out.
Yeah, that's often a pattern, certainly, in his statistics. Dominic Thiem, let's have a listen to the young Austrian through to another final. It's been a good few weeks in South America.
It was an incredible performance, for sure. I'm a little bit surprised that I could keep this run so long, but yeah, tomorrow I am going to do everything to finish this trip to South America and America with a title, because yeah, it's been amazing 3 weeks.
Yeah, it should be a great final coming up 2 o'clock on Fox Sports a little bit later on today. Bodge, I want to ask you about the two Australians. Well, John Millman sort of drew the short straw, didn't he, after taking on the number one seed, David Ferrer? That was always going to be a tough assignment. And as you did allude to a little bit earlier, Sam Groth, this was probably his most winnable first round of all the tournaments since leaving Australia. But Dmitry Tursunov, who He's a tough competitor, had a few injuries the last couple of years. Once again, Sam involved in another tight match that just didn't go his way.
Yeah, it was a tight three-set match going down 7-5 in the third. And I think the positive side for Sam is he's so close to getting across the line. He just hasn't been able to convert a couple of points here and there. And, you know, for him, it's just continually playing these weeks, staying healthy and hopefully getting a few more wins under his belt. Because as we all know, the confidence and the momentum can swing really quickly.
It certainly can. So that's Acapulco. That's 2 o'clock this afternoon. Who wins, guys? Give me a tip each.
Oh, I'll have to go with Bernie.
I really don't know. I mean, I think it's more of a danger for Thiem, how he's going to handle Tomic's playing with his strike zone, because he won't have played anyone like Tomic, so it would be interesting. But if you were looking purely on form, you'd say TM. I mean, he's just taking all before him. He and Kyrgios are the two most exciting males in the game right now.
No doubt. Women's final just underway in Acapulco. Dominika Sibulkova up against Sloane Stephens. Stephens 2-1 up in the first set, so we'll keep you right across that. Let's jump on the Learjet, guys, and head across to Dubai. This is always a big tournament, big points, big prize money. And Stan the Man got the chocolates overnight. His 13th title on the tour, 6-4, 7-6. He's won his last 9 straight finals. So it's an extraordinary record. And great to see Marcos Baghdatis back in another final. Interesting read during the week. I mean, obviously, he was a fan favourite here a decade ago, made the final, went on a great run. He's always had a fan base every time he's come back to Australia. About a year ago, he was thinking of quitting the game. The results weren't going his way. The travel, he's had a family and obviously a young baby coming into his life. But he's sort of got this renewed energy and revitalisation to keep going on the tour, and has had some good form of late, but Wawrinka got the job done overnight.
Yeah, well, I mean, Stan, like you said, BP on a 9-match winning streak, one of the best players out there, unbelievable backhand. But nice to see Marcos Baghdatis back out there. I think it's interesting sometimes when players do have that time off, they sort of reflect. Obviously, still loves playing the game, has a family now, so maybe that pressure is a little bit off. He's got other things to focus on and found some form. And I think everybody's a crowd favourite of Marcos Baghdatis. But yep. Stan the Man's just too good.
Yeah, no doubt. Former world number 8 Baghdatis. So hopefully he can play some good tennis at 30 years of age. But I suppose when you look at the week, Paul, once Djokovic had sort of gone out of the tournament, we'll talk about him in just a moment, it really opened the door up, didn't it, for Stan to win the title?
Oh, it sure did. And getting back to Baghdatis, the speed, the patterns, the flair and the swagger was back. Looking at Wawrinka that match this morning, it was just spectacular tennis. Wawrinka, the man with the strongest hips in tennis and one of the best third shots after serve.
Yep.
But great to see him matching up against Baghdatis, who has that really fast twitch energy about him, and he just loves turning defence into attack.
And it was 15-13 in that second set tiebreak, so it's a high-quality match as well.
Nick Kyrgios's week, guys, obviously had to pull out of the final. We know that back's given him a bit of trouble. We've spoken about that off the top of the show, that might put him in doubt for the Davis Cup. We'll wait and see what happens in the next 24 to 48 hours. I watched his first round match against Martin Kleesan, who'd won in Rotterdam the week before Marseille. It was in great form. Kyrgios has basically just jumped off the plane into that first round match. The first set was extraordinary. He didn't look like he was really there mentally. All of a sudden, he just turned it on. Kleesan got frustrated with all the stuff that sort of goes on with Nick, even though it was far more controlled than what it has been in the past. And he just lost his whole, just lost his bundle, basically. Throwing rackets and having a dummy spit. Normally a fairly composed player, but another pretty solid week for Nick. And I suppose he started to turn the tables for some people. Some people aren't totally convinced, but at least his tennis has done more of the talking than the other stuff that goes on.
Quite right, BP. A couple off the SMS. Is Nick Kyrgios mentally tough enough to be a champion? Is he starting to head down the path that Novak did with retiring hurt as a youngster? Brett from St Albans.
Well, I think for Nick, the good thing for him is obviously had a win the week before, turned up, had to play that same day, lost the first set, found a way to win, found himself, deep into the tournament, having to unfortunately withdraw, but maybe that's precautionary leading up to the Davis Cup. But, like you said, BP, he's letting his racket do more of the talking and, he still needs to start, maturing a little bit more, but he's definitely showing that form that he is capable of maintaining that consistency.
We certainly hope so. But it was Stan the Man. He saluted in Dubai. Let's have a listen to the Swiss star.
I'm really happy. It was a tough tournament, a tough condition this week. Didn't play great at the beginning of the week, but tonight was a really good match. I'm really happy with the level I played. Was a really close tiebreak at the end, but it's a great feeling to win the trophy here.
Yeah, 13th title for Stan Wawrinka. What about Novak Djokovic, guys? Had to pull out with an eye problem. Got a few boos, didn't he, when he walked off court, which wasn't too pleasant when you're the world number one and you've dominated for so long. I mean, you're not just going to pull out of a match, just meekly. I mean, there was a genuine issue there. Maybe we would have said that about Novak 8 or 9 years ago, that he had a bit of fragility about him, but I thought that was a little bit unfair, the crowd over there.
Quite right. I think they probably, as you say, BP, have long memories. But look, this is the first hiccup he's had in, I can't even remember, it must be at least 13 months, where he's lost to someone that perhaps on paper you would just say that'll be in a straight sets victory.
Yep.
Yeah, look, and I think, you know, if the crowd had their time over again, I think they would have maybe realised the situation. So, Novak, I suppose, you know, the interesting part about all this, even though he is world number one, and Paul, you did allude me to a great article that was written during the week about Team Djokovic and how they have got to world number one and all the crew who are behind him. But one thing that he has acknowledged as he's got older is he knows that he hasn't got the popularity of Federer and Nadal. He's had to learn to sort of accept that, even now that he's got a better head-to-head against both of them, and he's risen above them to be the most dominant player in the last 12 to 24 months, but still doesn't have the popularity of those two, and I think he's become a little bit more accepting of it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and that article was fantastic. They spoke to everyone in his team, and he believes a big part of why he's so successful is because he surrounds himself with positive people, and he's referring to his life off the court as well, whether you're surrounded or filled by positive or negative thoughts and the environment that you're in. Sorry, BP, got another couple off the SMS. TM, so reminiscent of beautiful Tommy Haas. You mentioned the young Aussie in the top 100 at 22. TM, 22 is top 10. No substitute for hard work. Sue.
Yeah, I can now see that screen now here, Paul. That's a good comment, Sue. I know you're a regular listener to the First Serve. He is, I think, just to watch him go about it, and I interviewed him up in Brisbane, and I watched him train, and if all the Aussies could just look at how this young guy comes together as a package, he just gets the job done. I mean, he's superbly talented, but the way he works in the corridors, doing all the little extra things, just the 1% things that, you know, might win you a tight match. I think he's just a great example. Hey, it's going to be Bodge in Brazil in Sao Paulo a little bit later on. Pablo v Pablo. Cuevas and Carino Busta have made it through to the final over there. Two men who don't mind playing on the red clay.
No, they sure don't. And guaranteed there'll be a lot of long rallies, that's for sure. But look, just another opportunity for those players to find some form. Obviously, there's some really big tournaments coming up with Indian Wells and Miami. So, you know, like I said, an opportunity for them to get a few more wins and obviously a few more rankings points as well.
No doubt. So that'll come up a little bit later on today. Let's focus on the girls. The Qatar Open, very good prize money here. It was Carla Suarez Navarro who won overnight 1-6, 6-4, 6-4, defeating Yelena Ostapenko. Now, this is the young Latvian 18-year-old, the biggest tournament of her life. And those who follow their tennis may remember back in Auckland earlier this year, she was the young girl who was caught up in controversy after her opponent, Naomi Brody of the UK, actually accused her of deliberately throwing her racket at a ball boy. If you go on YouTube and look at this clip,
what?
Brody was just beside herself. She wouldn't play the match until she was kicked out Ostapenko, and the chair umpire was trying to defuse it and everything and say she didn't deliberately throw her racket at the ball boy. That sort of put her into the headlines. But her tennis this week over in Qatar has been absolutely superb. So the biggest match of her career, won the first set against Suarez Navarro, who can be a traditional slow starter, 6-1. Then Carla, with her experience and that backhand, just clicked into gear. But we'd love to see the breakthrough players, don't we, make their mark.
And talk about players that you don't normally hear of. And she's obviously, she beat some high-quality players, Svetlana Kuznetsova, Petra Kvitova, obviously beating Jia Zhang, and then making it all the way to the final and unfortunately not getting across the line. But I love the reaction from Carla Suarez Navarro after she did win, jumped into her play box, something that we not normally would see. And, you know, last year she's probably one of the most consistent players on tour, Suarez Navarro. So great to see her continue on her winning ways.
Well, Pat Cash started that tradition back in Wimbledon in 1987.
Yes. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Ian Barclay, the great Hagen. I suppose she was happy, Bodge, because she had a 1-8 record in her 10th final. So they're hard to win, and you could see the relief, the little clench of the fist, just the sigh of relief when she did win. She'll be the world number 6 in the rankings tomorrow. Let's have a listen to the Spaniard speaking after she got the job done overnight.
Yeah, really special. You know, this match today was so emotional, and I start not so good, so I come back, I fight, I run, and you know, I feel really, really happy right now, and it's an emotional and so special title. Well, I know that she played really fast, and I don't like when people start too fast or like this, no? So I just try to be relaxed, try to play my game, put the balls into the court, and just run. Just believe that I can come back and win the match. This tournament was really tough. All the top players were here, and playing every day is not easy. So for all these things, for all all this match, this tournament was special.
Well done to Carla, did a magnificent job. Angelique Kerber played her first tournament since winning the Australian Open this week and, of course, got knocked out in the second round. Simona Halep in the second round. And, of course, Radwanska made the semi-finals, wiped away by Suarez Navarro. And
how good was that?
Muguruza made the quarters. Yeah, she was superb.
I mean, that Suarez Navarro, from a purely ball-striking perspective, her forehand and her backhand, so potent. And poor Radwanska could not keep it out of her strike zone.
But talk about the inconsistency on the women's tour. You've got names like Alina Vesnina making the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Andrei Petkovic, nice to see her doing well as well.
Yep.
You know, Muguruza sort of not getting across the line. Timi Babos as well. So, you know, it's just interesting to keep seeing these different names come through.
No doubt. And, of course, the Acapulco final live at the moment, Sybil Kova and Sloane Stephens. Victoria Azarenka was the top seed, had to withdraw with that left wrist injury during the week. But we'll keep you up to date with that final. And we should mention, while we're working our way through a couple of the challenges with the Australians, one of your favourites, Sir Paul,
yes,
who made the semi-finals in Japan this week, Matthew Barton. Now,
we
interviewed Matthew back in January when he was playing at Happy Valley. He's hasn't travelled all the time outside of Australia. He's got on his bike since playing in Launceston. He's at 273, and that ranking will certainly come down a bit, making a semi-final loss to Yuichi Sugita yesterday, 6-4, 7-5. But, you know, we expect him to get some good results. If he can stay injury-free, this is a young guy that can play.
Oh, he sure can. And, you know, you talk about players that have a ranking and you say, well, they've probably almost done the best with what they've had, but this guy, he can really elevate. He'd be capable of beating anyone in the top 100, which he actually did in New Zealand, had a win over Stevie J. He can really play.
Well, BP, we watched him play at the wildcard playoff last year, and he has one of the biggest games. His forehand and serve is huge, and it was just his ability to keep backing up those wins and those shots, and no wonder he's doing so well.
He's the enigma, that guy.
Needs to keep that body intact, and he might have a really good year. And, of course, we spoke about Jordan Thompson earlier. That final tonight up against Pavlicek, who's ranked 144 in the world. Thompson at 151. What an opportunity here in Cherbourg in France tonight. He's, I think, since the Australian Open, went to Launceston at first round, went to Italy first round, to Poland first round. So a much better week for Jordan Thompson at 151. If he can win a challenger, he's on his way.
Well, that's the best thing about tennis is, you know, you can lose first round for a consecutive number of weeks, and then all it takes is a good tournament. You've got your confidence back. You've got a few more ranking points that allows you to play the bigger tournament. So credit to Jordan Thompson for sort of just sticking it out there and keep performing.
Absolutely. We'll come back and have a chat about Port Pirie after the break. We'll catch up with Vivian Christie. Quite a few SMSs coming through. We'll get to those as well. 9429 1116 if you want to contribute to the first serve. We're building up, of course, to the Davis Cup and some news on Roger Federer as well to come at 18 to midday.
You're listening to the first serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. For AFT Hire, for all your temporary fencing and portable toilet hire, call 1300 946 660 or log on to afthire.com.au. And Fast 4 Tennis, register to play at fast4.com.
Quarter to midday. Good to have your company here on the first serve. Brett Phillips, Paul Aitken and Bojana Babusic. Just on the SMS, any news on where the Fed Cup tie between Australia and the USA will be played in mid-April? I am hearing Brisbane. Stay tuned. We've got a few things right, haven't we, guys, here on the first serve? We're copying a little bit of stick for Leighton Hewitt last week.
Well, we never said he was definitely going to play. We just said it was rumour, and I've got no doubt that he did consider it.
He still might be in the mix.
He still could be. I mean,
don't discounted, depending what happens this week. Who is Australia's Davis Cup coach? Jason Stoltenberg is the coach, I'm pretty sure, Paul.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
With Leighton Hewitt as the captain. Best player, Bodge, here's one for you. The best player you have played against on tour.
Oh, it has to be Agnieszka Radwanska at the Australian Open. She was world number four in the world and toughest component I've ever come up against. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Beautifully
done. You
really
didn't have any luck there, did you, really?
No, and I played Angelique Kerber the year before, so there goes my luck.
Vivian Christie is with us, the editor of the Australian Tennis Magazine. The new edition is out. It's a beauty post the Australian Open. Morning, Viv.
Good morning, guys.
Now, don't tell me, Viv. Radek Stepanek, the worm, 37 years of age. He's been a lover. He's been a lover to many over the years. It's a cavalcade. He's going to reunite with an old flame.
Well, apparently so. So last year, Radek came out and said that he was done with dating tennis players. Of course, he's been engaged to Martina Hingis. He's grown up with Petra Kvitova. But now the news comes that he has reunited with Nicole Radasova. So he, according to his own Facebook, he said that don't be surprised if you see them together, because apparently they're a couple again.
Weren't they engaged, though, as well, before?
They were actually married.
Oh, they were married.
Yes, so they were.
He's
they
a
were
wild
married.
Card.
Wow.
Yeah, separated, I think.
I want to know what his secret is.
So do I.
Fascinating stuff, isn't it?
Is she still playing, I think, Nicole? I saw her playing a tournament in the US a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, she's been working on her comeback to the WTA Tour. I think she's played about 3 ITF events this year. So she's had a couple of wins. I think it's slow but steady progress for her.
There you go.
As far as her tennis goes.
Paul.
Rafa's Academy in Mallorca about to open. I heard there was possibly an Australian sponsor, Viv.
Oh, well, I don't know that news, Paul, but yeah, I do know that it is about to open. So he targeted March for that. And yeah, it's all on track. And I think he's trying to give players the same opportunities that he had growing up. You know, at the same time, recognising that not everybody is going to make it on tour, he says it's important for players to have as many life skills as they do tennis skills. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see that one.
And Serena's helping build a school in Jamaica.
Yes, so Serena hasn't played since the Australian Open. She missed the Middle East. She said she was sick. But, a couple of weeks ago, she actually went to Jamaica and took a hands-on approach. She was there for a couple of days and, there with the hammer and the nails, and was actually building a primary school there. And good on Serena. I mean, she's also helped open schools in a couple of schools in Africa and in Kenya and South Africa. So, yeah, really doing some good work there.
Now, Viv, my favourite, Victor Estrella-Burgos, revealed during the week that he's going to be carrying the Dominican Republic flag into the opening ceremony of the Rio Olympics, and Caroline Wozniacki's going to have the same duties for Denmark.
Yeah, she's really thrilled about this, Caroline. She's played the last 2 Olympics, and, she says it's one of her favourite events. She's targeted Olympic success as one of her main priorities for 2016. So, yeah, she's been announced as the flag bearer for Denmark.
And Viv, Federer out for longer?
Yeah, so he had knee surgery after the Australian Open, minor knee surgery. We thought he'd be back for either Indian Wells or Miami, but he's announced that he won't be coming back until Monte Carlo now. So, yeah, just an interesting change of schedule. He originally said that he was only going to play 1 clay court event this year, which was the French Open, but shuffling things around a bit. I don't think it's any real cause for alarm. I think, you know, he said it's a long season and he's doing his best to preserve himself for that.
And talking about other players with injuries, Liz Cornet's announced she's taking 6 months off the tour.
Yeah,
yeah, she's apparently got a back injury, which is a real shame because, you know, she had such a good start to the year in winning Hobart, and, you know, she's been such a streaky player. You know, she's had some real highs but real lows as well. So, I think she'd be really disappointed with that result. But on the other hand, you've got some other players who are coming back. We saw Del Potro come back. Serena Castella returned last week and played an event in Rio, which was good news. So, yeah, there are other players coming back.
Maria Kirilenko, haven't heard her name for a while.
Yeah, now there were whispers that she was coming back, but, delving a little bit further, there's actually news that she's opening her own tennis school in Moscow. So she got married and had a baby last year, and she said it was an indefinite break from the WTA Tour. So, yeah, it's hard to know what's going on there. You know, the fact that she's opening her own school and said she'll be hands-on suggests that maybe she's preparing for a life after the WTA Tour.
And, Viv, the next instalment of Life After Tennis for Maryam Bartoli, she could start her own reality TV show. But she's just here, there and everywhere. What's she up to?
Well, she's done everything, it seems like. You know, started her own jewellery range, she's done lots of commentating, played a few Legends event, released a fitness video, but now she's designing tennis wear. Her own Fila collection will be worn by some of the players at the French Open and Wimbledon. So I've seen a few pictures, they're bright, colourful, very, very different. So, yeah, another chapter for Marion.
Outstanding. The latest edition, Viv, tell us about a couple of features in the latest edition, which you can get at all good news agencies or subscribe to, of course, the Australian Tennis Magazine.
So, this is our heroes issue post the Australian summer souvenir issue, of course. We always have lots of coverage of all the Australian events, lots of great pictures. Our cover star this month is Daria Gavrilova. Dasha certainly made her way into many hearts during the summer. So in-depth profile on Dasha. Also some good information for players, what you can learn from your heroes, how to respond to pressure in tie breaks, and just lots of bits and pieces in there.
Outstanding. Thank you, Viv, as always. Comprehensive.
Thank you. Thanks to
Vivian Christie. There she is, editor of the Australian Tennis Magazine. We'll squeeze in a break. We've got Paul's coaching tip to come. I've got a few more on the SMS we want to get through as well. A time for a call or two. 9429 1116 as we talk the world of tennis here in 1116 SEN.
You're listening to The First Serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. For AFT Hire, for all your temporary fencing and portable toilet hire, call 1300 946 660 or log on to afthire.com.au. And Fast 4 Tennis, register to play at fast4.com.
Welcome back to the First Serve, coming up to the midday news. Guys, we want to touch on Port Perry, Australian Pro Tour, a $25,000 event. We're calling in the First Serve. It's our very own Blake Mott. We interviewed him 2 weeks ago, won that Challenger in Launceston. This a futures event, 363 in the world. He's made the final against Christopher O'Connell, who, of course, is ranked 632. So big chance for Mott to win another tournament. And Arena Rodionova through to back-to-back finals after winning in Perth last week, Boyana. So these are big events that players can really start to get that ranking down.
Oh, for sure, BP. And what a last couple of months it has been for Arena Rodionova. Obviously, she made the final at the wildcard playoff, got married that week as well. She got picked, went and played Fed Cup for Australia, won the pro circuit last week in Perth, and then backing it up again in the final in Port Pirie. So, fantastic couple of months for her. And then we've got Casey and Ash back playing doubles together, unfortunately going down in the final in two tight set straight sets. But great to see those ladies back on court as well.
Yeah, early days for Ash Barty and her comeback, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of her. Hey, Paul, just one of the SMS that came through. Luke Saville, now, another first-round exit that was over in Japan during the week. He's at 184. Where do you think he is at the moment?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, he's still very young, and he's one of the smartest players I've seen. The way he challenges balance, the way he strategically looks at a tennis match. However, he doesn't have a lot of weapons, and it's tough for him at the moment when he's seeing his peers, Kyrgios, Kokkinakis, Tomic and others just seemingly going ahead in leaps and bounds.
Well, BP, we interviewed him at the Newcombe Medal last year, and one of the things he said is obviously has to get stronger but also not lose that quickness on the court, and he said he still has a lot of things to learn. A lot of areas to grow as well as a player. So I think it's just that transition and working on a few things.
Yeah, very likeable young man. We hope he kicks on, but I think you're right. The weapons is the issue, and he needs to add a few things to his game. Your coaching tip of the week, Paul. This is the most listened to part of the show. No
people
doubt.
Are hanging for this, I'm sure. Look, I'm often asked by people who are new to the sport, be it beginners or children, whether they should have a single or double-handed backhand. Well, simply speaking, and there's a bit more to it than this, but if you hit your forehand left-handed, just have a go with it and see how smooth it is, if you can make the left hand replicate what the right hand does on a forehand, that gives you a fair indication.
Bodge, you've digested that?
I sure have, but my tip would be, if you've got the strength, then obviously you can rely on that one-handed. But for me, obviously, I didn't, so I've always grew up playing double-handed.
The left hand plays an important role, obviously, because it's the driver of the shot.
All right, contemplate that, folks, as you're about to tuck into your Sunday roast. And I want to give a little shout-out to the Templestowe Park Tennis Club. I did pop in there during the week. Jeremy Mackay runs a great program out there. They are running Fast 4, so if you live in that part of Melbourne, the Porter Street courts there, absolutely brilliant. You can have a look at their website, Templestowe Park Tennis Club, or just duck into the clubhouse. There is tennis going on there right throughout the week. Sam Groth's, of course, his home club out there in Templestowe. Thank you, team. Nicely done.
Thanks,
BP.
There they are. Paul Aitken, Boyana Babusic. That wraps up the first serve. 2 o'clock this afternoon. Bernard Tomic in a big match against Dominic Thiem over there in Acapulco. ATP 500 event. Sunday Sports Central is next, right after the midday news.